The reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the Amplified. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Now there were then residing in Jerusalem Jews, devout and God-fearing men, from every country under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were astonished and bewildered, because each one of them heard them, the apostles, speaking in his own particular dialect. And they were beside themselves with amazement, saying, "Are not these all who are talking Galileans? Then how is it that we hear each of us in our own particular dialect to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and the province of Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the transient residents from Rome, both Jews and the proselytes to Judaism from other religions, Cretans and Arabians too. We all hear them speaking in our own native tongues and telling us of the mighty works of God." And all were beside themselves with amazement and were puzzled and bewildered, saying one to another, "What can this mean?" But others made a joke of it and derisively said, "They are simply drunk and full of sweet, intoxicating wine."
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you. It's great to be together. What a wonderful day it is. A lot warmer this week, I believe, than last week. We weren't able to be with you last week. We were traveling back from Northumberland, the beautiful part of the UK, after a few days away together. So we missed being with you, but we're really delighted to be here worshipping with you. And with one another. It's great to see some visitors, some family members I've spotted looking around. I won't try and name people, but it's great to recognize and see you and welcome you. But I do want to welcome Robin and Anne. This is their first time out for many, many, many months. So it's really lovely, lovely to see them. Thank you, Morris, for doing that reading. What an exciting chapter of the Bible that is. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and how vital it is that that happens, because otherwise all that Jesus had done in terms of living a life among men in a pure and holy way and going to the cross that we've been singing about, where he took our sin and our punishment upon himself for our sin, and how he amazingly rose from the grave, rose from the dead on the third day, if that was all that there was, and that is an amazing amount of wonderful truth just packed in those few words, if that was all that it was, then it would actually not touch our lives in the way that God wants it to touch our lives, because we all need to have an experience and an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. What an exciting time it must have been in the upper room there, where they waited expectantly for God to come, and they did not really know what to anticipate. They had just been told to go and wait in the city. And God then came in the person of the Holy Spirit and filled their hearts. Some of the description in the Amplified Bible, but there was the original, was an interesting, and where they try and capture something of the wonder of God, the Holy Spirit being with them. I want to speak a little bit this morning about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we won't be able to do very much, but I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, if you have a Bible with you. I would encourage you to bring one. If you don't, it's good to see the scripture as well as hearing it read and hearing it talked about. We need to read it for ourselves, and it's good also to publicly read the Word of God, which we've tried to do consistently week by week over recent months. And I've been thinking about the person of the Holy Spirit, and in the book of Ephesians, there is perhaps more said of the Holy Spirit there than in any other New Testament book. And if you do look, as I've looked, you will discover that there are either 9 or 10 references to specific things that God the Holy Spirit does for us. I say 9 or 10 because it depends on one particular work of God, whether you split it into two parts or whether it's one whole part. So that's 9 or 10 references to works that God the Holy Spirit does. And I want you to read in chapter 1, a few verses to read the first of these. In verse 11, if you have a Bible and a following, in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. That's an amazing thing. If we're in Christ, we have an inheritance. And that's because we've been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So if we come to a point where we trust in Christ for our salvation, we must realize that it's more than just what happens for me. It's the glory that God has wanted down through the ages to manifest through his Son to the people of God that he has in predestination called to himself, so that we should be to the praise of his glory. That's what it's about this morning. It's not primarily about us. It's about the praise of his glory. Amen. So often our understanding of scripture, our understanding of the gospel can very often be me orientated. It becomes basically perhaps a lot less than it ought to be. But we should be, according to the writer here, to the praise of his glory. And all that God has done in Christ is to that end, that there should be praise to his glory. And in him, he goes on to say, verse 13, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And here it is again, to the praise of his glory. We've been hearing about the word of God this morning. If you have had ears to hear, it's come out several times in prayer and consideration of the things of the Lord. It's also come out in specific words of prophetic utterance. The word of God, the place and the power and the significance of the word of God. And as believers, we have come to a place, according to Paul, where we've trusted, having heard the word of truth, we've trusted that word, that gospel, and as a result of that trust that we've placed in it, God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God requires of each and every one of us. As we listen to the word of truth and as we hear the gospel explained and we realize that we stand in need of the gospel of God, that our lives have failed to be lived in the way that God has wanted them to be lived, that our lives been dominated by the power of sin and we've needed grace. And by the wonderful mercy of God, we came to a point in our lives where we heard God speak into our lives, the word of truth. And what we're called to do then is we're called to trust that word. We're called to lean upon that word. We're called to give everything that we have to the truth of that word. And the only thing then left for God to do is that he seals us with the Holy Spirit. We have to believe the word of God. We have to trust the word of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, seals it into our lives. Isn't that amazing? You can be sealed. You are sealed. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus, You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And he says, Paul, is the guarantee of our inheritance. Our inheritance, our full inheritance in Christ is yet to be experienced. That will happen in the day when God wraps up our universe and brings everything to an end, and the glorious New Jerusalem comes down from God. And the end there, you can read about it in the book of Revelation and other places. God's going to wrap up his creation. He's going to renew everything in his own image and plan and purpose. This is all wonderful, wonderful truth, isn't it? And all we have to do is believe God. We just have to trust him. And as we trust his word, he seals us. Until that end, he will keep us until that day of his redemption. You can see that. Just turn over in a few pages in chapter 4, verse 32. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of promise. You realize it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit because he's a person. He's not some abstract force. He's a person. He's a member of the Godhead on equal basis of Jesus Christ and the Father. What an amazing thing that is. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, they did an amazing thing. They sealed the tomb. They rolled a stone across it. They sealed it with the kind of emperor's stamp. And they thought they shut up the body of Jesus forever. And you know what happened, don't you? He broke the seals. Hallelujah. And he rose from the dead. Glory be to God. And he liberated many, many people from the town where they were, and they came out of the graves. You remember? Incredible things happened. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled their hearts and indwelt them. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you keep your finger there and just turn with me into the second letter of Timothy, 2 Timothy. It's something about the seal. Paul writes this, he says, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. This is what the seal is. The Lord knows those who are his. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows you. That is, he identifies with you. He calls you his own. Hallelujah. You belong to him for time and eternity. Bless the name of the Lord. Nothing can snatch you out of the hands of God if you've come to place your trust in him. He's sealed you until that day of his ultimate redemption. Glory be to God. So whatever it is that troubles you this morning, and we've heard about things that break into our experience and give us difficulties and pressures and strep pressures and all sorts of things that have been referred to, you can stand this morning on the promise of God that he knows you through and through, and he's the down payment of his great inheritance in Christ that will come to us in fullness in the day of his redemption. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he knows those who are his. And the other thing about the seal, according to Timothy here, is that everyone who names the name of Christ, that is, who believes in that seal of Christ upon their lives, must depart from iniquity. Holy living is not some add-on to the gospel truth that we preach, but holy living is the result of the sealing of a life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're sealed to the day of redemption, but to a life of holiness and purity, and a life that will give glory to the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be sealed by him. I think it's an amazing and wonderful truth. Let's turn to one other reference. in chapter 2, verse 18, back in the book of Ephesians. And this has been alluded to this morning. I'm just going to read the verse 18 to begin with of chapter 2. For through him, that is Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Here's the second work of God that is recorded of the Holy Spirit in this particular book. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Spirit gives us access to God the Father. In all the great things of the truth of God, you will always see the Trinitarian aspects of that truth. So there'll always be the reference to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You can see references related to Calvary, to resurrection, to exaltation, to the giving of the Holy Spirit, to all sorts of key doctrinal emphases in the New Testament that are Trinitarian. Here's another one. Through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Keep your finger there and just look at Romans with me, Romans chapter 5. Where Paul says, having been justified by faith, that is that we have been put into right relationship with God by the work of what of Jesus Christ on the cross, who took our place and our sin and reinstated us in relationship with his Father. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the Father. There's the Lord Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So here we have access by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read in Ephesians that we have access by the Holy Spirit to the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son has made access possible by his death on Calvary, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God that enables us to go through that access that Jesus has granted for us as he has made that way possible to the Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And in this particular chapter where Paul's talking about us and you, he's talking about the Jew and the non-Jew. And he's talking about the things that separate and divide. He's talking about the Jew and the non-Jew. But what he's really talking about is that out of the Jewish people and from the Gentile people, he's brought together a new people. Jew and Gentile together. That's why things have been removed. And we have been granted peace. Those who are afar off, that was the Gentile who had no appreciation of the living God. And from those who are far away, the Gentiles, and those who are brought near, that was the Jews who had access to the scripture and all the privileges of being the people of God. But from the Jew and from the non-Jew, he has made both one in Christ and granted access to the Father through the work of the Son. That's why we've been able to come this morning and sing our songs and pray our prayers and listen to the prophetic words of God, because we've been made one and we've all got access to the throne of grace this morning where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwell. We have access to him. Hallelujah. All down through the generations, people were waiting. This is part of the mystery that Paul goes on to talk about. Part of the mystery that God was to be known, and it was the privilege of Paul through the Holy Spirit to open out so much of our understanding of who God is and what the gospel is. Again, it says he's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Our time has gone, so we'll stop right there. I should have warned Helen and Roger, and I apologize that I didn't. that if we want to sing another song, we might need to choose something different than the one that I wanted to sing. I woke up thinking about it last night, and we had some late exchanges of texts, but I realize it's not terribly well known and it probably won't show up on the screen. So if Roger and Helen want to choose something different, that's absolutely fine by me, and I'm sorry to drop you in it at the last minute. Praise God. God, the uncreated one. If not, we'll do something else. Don't worry about it. Let's pray. That will give them time to think. Father, we worship you that you have made a way for us to know you. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he indwells our hearts as we trust you and commit our lives to you, that you've saved us for not just time, but for all eternity. And we want to be a people, Lord, who are expressive of such wonderful truth and give you, Lord, glory, that we may be to the praise of your glory and bring honor to the name and to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, he has wrought all these wonderful things, and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for one another. Thank you for the joy it is to be together. Thank you, Lord, that it's such a thrill to be part of the people of God. And we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.